Hey you, KPFA donor, listen up. Did you know only 1 in 8 of our listeners actually make a contribution to your radio station? Maybe you can help us improve those odds. Our winter fund drive is called Pass It On. Please pass on our request to your friends and family that listen to KPFA to donate this time around. And do us a favor and link our donation page at kpfa.org to your Facebook or Twitter account. Help us grow and eliminate a future fund drive. So please, pass it on.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Up next, the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So first, a few announcements about allies. There's a free show of Cops and Robbers, our ally Piper, January 31st at Taylor Memorial United Methodist Church in West Oakland at 10 a.m. Get there early, says Piper. It is a fantastic show, again, about expanded tolerance and empathy. Yes, we want that. And also, longtime friend of show, David Grimes, is wending his way to the Western Gate Tea House in Lagunitas, California, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, January 31st. It is a tiny place, but he is a great friend of the show, and there we go. So, as we convene right now in the astro-mytho language, directly overhead is Pisces, Venus exalted in Pisces. We're all in this dream together. The image for directly overhead right now is a warm-hearted church social, the cosmic mass. Truly, I'm reading out of the book here, revival meeting and dissolving social boundaries that keep us apart. We go, how perfect. So we call this show Pragmatic Mysticism, Democratic Animism, and Applied Divination. Cooperators are standing by. It is the ongoing dedication of the Visionary Activist Show since its launch on September 5th, 1996, with brilliant, grumpy Aries James Hillman as the first guest of a long lineage of wedding magic and a willingness to cooperate with everything and ingenious social activism. That humans may humbly be guided by nature's evolutionary experimental resilience against all odds, genius, also known as trickster. So today we have a great, perfect treat. We are hosting the brilliant, prodigiously prolific Matthew Fox in collegial cahoots via his dedication to reawakening mysticism to protect Mother Earth, spirituality for the 21st century, evolutionary creation spirituality movement, you know, definitely part of our embracing team, getting illusorily estranged principles to dance together again, estranged as a mean trick of the reality police to render humans obedient to external overlords. So we go, yes, heart, you know, thinking and heart, they love each other. Mysticism and activism love each other. You know, and Matthew is the author of, recently released, his third book on Meister Eckhart, A Mystic Warrior for Our Time, and also The Physics of Angels, co-authored with great friend of show and my buddy Rupert Sheldrake. Matthew is founder of the Cosmic Mass, all of which are available as thank you gifts for pledging to our Festival of Reciprocal Blessing, also known as Fun Drive. I will circle right back to that. Also, cruising through in the studios in Washington, D.C. is our ally Bob Goff. He is in the wings, chiming in, chortling, filing scouting reports on the climate conference here in D.C., especially the second portion of our show, and chiming in on mysticism and activism. So, welcome, Matthew Fox.
Thank you, Carolyn. Good to be with you.
That is wonderful.
External overlords and all that.
Yes, right. Well, we are so kinned, and you're doing such great work. We are grateful. And let me just give out all the wonderful things that are being proffered collaboratively this hour, and then we will dive into angels. I was ensconced in Meister Eckhart, and grateful. We will honor that. But then I opened the Physics of Angels, and it completely beguiled me. I was like, oh, drawn in. So we'll circle around to that. So, O team, you know, we are in our Festival of Reciprocal Blessing, which is what we're calling the fun drive. And it's so wonderful that way. We have such a great dynamic listening audience of dedicated good people. And I want to do a shout out to our listener, Joanne Gaines, who bought 30 tickets, 15 pairs of tickets to the Cosmic Mass with Matthew Fox and David Corton. She bought those and gave them to the show that we may pledge for them. So we love all this collaboration. And I'll have Matthew explain what the Cosmic Mass is. That's a pair of tickets. We only have 15 pairs due to the generosity of our listener. It is $50 a pair as a thank you for that. We're also offering the fantastic book, Meister Eckhart, A Mystic Warrior for Our Times by Matthew Fox. That is a thank you gift for a pledge of $80. And also the fantabulous book, The Physics of Angels by Matthew Fox and Rupert Sheldrake. Really heartening. We're going to animate all this for a pledge of $90. And then just for the fun of it, we're offering also the DVD, Psilocybin and Amanita Mushrooms, An Innocent Discovery the Infinite by Paul Stamets, just to bring our Terence McKenna, Paul Stamets, entheogenic, you know, discourse in that realm, many forms of angels. That's for a pledge of $100. Any or all of those things can be yours by calling 800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, 800-439-5732, or also pledging online, kpfa.org. I want to do, you know, a shout-out to our dynamic listening community. We always have new listeners. I hear every week. Some people have been listening for 18 years. Some people say, I was in the car last week and I couldn't get out because I heard your show on KPFA 94.1. We are podcast, webcast, as well as live. We have listeners in Portugal, South Africa, Sweden, Britain, Australia, Japan, Alaska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Providence, Rhode Island. You know, and all of you, hello, everybody. You can pledge securely online at kpfa.org. The Physics of Angels will not be listed on the website because it's skidding in late, but it is available from our Skookum call center, 800-439-5732. All right, there. I've begun to do my duty. All right, Matthew Fox, how wonderful. First, maybe you can guide us into the imminent Cosmic Mass.
Yes, on February 8th. Right, February 8th. It's coming up soon. We're going to have a Cosmic Mass here in Oakland, California, at the Scottish Rite Temple, near the Lake Merritt BART station. It's doors open at 6:30, and we begin the experience at 7. And the theme is an economics that works for everyone. And by everyone, we mean not only all the two-legged ones on the planet, but all the other beings as well, the forests and the oceans and the four-legged ones.
Yes.
And so forth. So, and David Corton, who I consider a really important prophetic voice about economics today, will be present, and he will do the basic teaching at the Mass. And also, we're going to be honoring and remembering Sister Dorothy Stang, who 10 years ago this week, the week of the Mass, was murdered, really assassinated or martyred in the Amazon, where she was part of a leadership there that was opposing the corporate tearing down of rainforests and was supporting the peasant farmers and the rainforest itself. And she was murdered for her work. She actually studied with me here in Oakland, and she herself attended a number of Cosmic Masses when she was with us several years ago in Oakland. So it's kind of a special thing. We have the marvelous theories from David Corton about how to redo economics, and as he says, let Wall Street go. But then we have this practitioner who was really on the ground and doing it, and really offered her life on behalf of eco justice and economic justice. Now,
and in reading about Oh, sorry, yes.
Well, I was just going to say what a cosmic mass is. It's a postmodern form of worship. So we're bringing it, it's about dancing our prayers instead of just sitting and being read at. And it's also, so we have DJs, we have VJs, we have visuals that help to augment the theme. We'll have Michelle Jordan, who's a wonderful African-American singer and leader of song as part of the service. We'll have a spiral dance. We'll have a grieving part. I think grieving is extremely important today. We're all carrying a lot of grief, and I don't think we have many healthy outlets for it. So it's a real celebration. We'll have, I think there are going to be some folks on stilts as well, bring a little air of festivity. So it's beautiful. There'll be altars as well, four altars that speak. We'll have a couple altars dedicated to people who are on the ground working for alternative economics here in the Bay Area. And then we'll have an altar dedicated to Sister Dorothy's story. And her brothers are going to be there honoring her 10th anniversary of her murder. And I think it'll just be a very deep and rich and celebratory and beautiful experience of ritual. And that's so important. Meledome Somi, the African spiritual teacher, says there's no community without ritual. So I think we have to revive our rituals today and bring the body back. And that's at the heart of our cosmic masses, the dancing.
That's beautiful. And again, O-Team, it is available to all the Cosmic Mass, but we are also featuring it this hour because of kind listener Joanne Gaines, who bought 15 pairs of tickets, and we're offering those for a pledge of $50, 1-800-439-5732. Yes, grief, grieving. A friend of show also, Martin Prechtel, says he'd forgotten when he came back to this country after being away in Guatemala for 25 years that Americans had lost the art of grieving, maybe we say until now. You know, and he said, for lack of grief, we go to war. Ooh. So I love that you have this this powerful honoring to be able to turn it. Well, let me ask you actually. But is it to, in a sense, honor grieving and compost grieving into a kind of renewed dedication to beauty and life?
Well, definitely. But I really like that line you quoted, for lack of grief we go to war, because the first level of grief is anger. And the war we go to is sometimes war against ourselves. I think some of our depression, a lot of our depression in this culture, is that we're not dealing with the grief. And when we don't deal with grief, we get blocked up. Our creativity cannot flow. But exactly, once you can do some grieving together, then the creativity can flow. And as you say, that's how we bring beauty and justice and alternatives and moral imagination into the mix, into history again, into our culture.
And that's a beautiful segue into praise. I love Meister Eckhart, and I'm going to live with that book for a long time because it is rich and a prodigious and kind offering on your part. But when I opened the Physics of Angels, I think there was a hand that reached out and grabbed me into it, going, "I love this." And then, you know, particularly drawn to, you know, I guess your chapter on Hildegard von Bingen, who's rising in the charts, you know, as a popular heroine, really. But you speak about, you know, angels and praise. We might want to back up a little bit to introduce angels, but I love angels and praise. You know that wonderful line from Rumi, "Your depression is caused by your inability to praise." A man who is depressed is a thief and steals from God every moment. Now, some depressed people get grumpy at that line, but we go, "Oh, come on, it's just a prompt," you know. But I love you and Rupert uniquely qualified to bring, you know, physics and angels back into the realm, and this whole, you know, what you say really just right at the get-go about the existence and role of consciousness at levels beyond the human. And then you gently guide us into this realm. You say that, you know, in your lectures, 60 to 80% of people say that they've had an encounter with angels, yeah?
Just last night I was lecturing in a church here in Oakland, and I had people shut their eyes, and I said, "So raise your hand if you feel you've had an experience with angels." And there it was, 80%. And I said, "And how about people you trust who have told you they've had experience?" Another 80%. And I think it's so interesting because, you know, most religion today, and certainly science, is embarrassed to talk about angels. But here we have people walking, 80% of the people walking the street have angel experiences. So that's one reason that Rupert and I wrote this book, that you see, as long as we're living in a mechanical universe, which is where we were for 300 years in the modern era, there was no room for angels. But with that exploded, and now the universe is not mechanical, it's amazing and alive everywhere. I mean, a star is being born every 15 seconds. That's amazing. And so now there's room again for angels to be acknowledged. And, of course, what is an angel? Well, it's an intellectual being, a being with consciousness that is not necessarily a physical and visible. And all world traditions talk about angels. The Native Americans call them spirits. But and, of course, the Greek tradition called it muses. So angels especially show up when we're being creative. So you get the very word music or museum from the muse. That's the angels, the spirits who accompany our creativity in whatever we do. Thomas Aquinas, 13th century, said that angels learn only by intuition. What that means to me is that as we get fuller into our intuitions and honor our intuitions, which is where mysticism happens, then we'll be angels will be showing up in our lives a lot more, a lot of synchronicity and a lot of support. And so angels are there to help us. Aquinas says angels cannot help but love. And Hildegard, whom you referred to, she says that angels admire and praise human works. So, you know, we've got allies that that we should invoke, especially at this time, because humanity has so much inner work to do and outer work.
And there goes Rupert's Wikipedia page. For the last 2 years, Rupert has been in high dudgeon because, radical atheists have taken over Wikipedia, which they have. There's a strong censorship. And so every entry on Rupert, who is distinguished and an extraordinary intellectual and scientist of, compelling depth, but his Wikipedia says, Rupert Sheldrake used to be a scientist. And he's like, now with angels, there goes it. And I've always said to Rupert, go full on, send them an angel to help change their heart, don't fight them on their own terms, or don't fight them, because that only encourages them. And he's like, anyway, so we go, all right, there goes the Wikipedia page for Rupert.
But the TED Talk censored him too. The anonymous scientists behind TED Talk, they censored Rupert this past year, but it really backfired. Hundreds of thousands of people screamed back at TED Talks because they wanted to hear Rupert. See, Rupert is this marvelous thinker who's courageous, and so he's a heretic within materialistic scientific worldview, as I've been called a heretic by a few theologians and popes. But truth is, it's time to go to the edges. Humanity in its present state isn't doing very well either in its materialistic scientific worldview or the institutions that it gives birth to, including academia. So hey, we gotta rattle some cages. And Rupert's doing.
I'm so glad you brought up the word heretic, because in early Christianity, it was a term of praise. You'd go, boy, that Matthew Fox sure is a heretic. It means a free thinker. And it was only later when Paul, whom a biblical scholar, friend of mine, friend of show, calls St. Paul the early Karl Rove, it's only when Paul kind of kidnaps the liberating teachings of Jesus into servitude to the state that heretic becomes a bad thing. So heretic means free choice, but I introduced Rupert last time he was on the show as a heretic, and he's like, oh no, because I go, embrace it, it's a wonderful thing, it's thrown at you, and go, like Mirabai, you sent me a poison snake, I wore it as a necklace, heretic, yes, Obamacare, yes, it is Obamacare, I think dance with these things, but yes, let's take us into the beauty of these two works that you're presenting to us, which is substantial. And there's so many ways to go. I like to think of this maybe as part one, otherwise my head would fall off. Because there is so much richness in what you are presenting to us. But it's very radical. I turned in Meister Eckhart you know, to the fierce women and Dorothy Sowell, you know, mm-hmm. who says churches have buried the revolution. They are anti-mystical, you know, and we do, we are at this crucial moment in time where we go, dominance is a finite game, you know, mm-hmm. collaborating is an infinite game, keep everything in play. But there's a lot of, you know, fierce, liberating talk that, from you and also Meister Eckhart, and then you are imaginably introducing him to many people in history that, you know, you otherwise wouldn't have known, Carl Jung and Dorothy Sowell and feisty people. But yes, the churches have buried the revolution. Many people know, I guess, you started your own church, didn't you?
No, I started a movement called Creation Spirituality. Movement. Yeah.
Oh, and, okay, there you go.
We're trying to affect the churches by showing them that, well, this tradition of original blessing is far more real and ancient than original sin, and that Jesus himself never heard of original sin. No Jews ever heard of original sin. So why are we building a church supposedly in the name of Jesus on a concept that he never subscribed to? It's obviously distorted, and the whole notion of original sin grew up in the 4th century, which, by coincidence, is the century in which the church inherited the Roman Empire. So if you're going to run an empire, original sin is a great idea, because you get people all doubting what they're doing, so they get in line and they join the army to kill people in the name of Christ or some other idol. But the truth is that for us to recover this sense of praise that you talked about and that Rumi talks about, this sense of blessing, Rabbi Heschel talks about radical amazement, that's really the beginning of an authentic spiritual life. And to dwell on sin as the starting point is a downer. And it's very anthropocentric. I mean, humans have only been here, what, about 100,000 years in our present form. And my goodness, the universe has been unfolding with all its beauty and amazement and power for 13.8 billion years. So it's really an insult to the Creator to begin religion with the idea of original sin.
Yes, and it's not a very original idea either. We got, that's not original. That's been used by overlords for millennia. So we are presented, I think, with a giant kind of composting alchemical cauldron. So we might throw the idea of original sin into the cauldron. I mean, is that part of what you've been doing? Is that part of your practice?
Well, I like what Otto Rank, the great psychologist, said in the mid-20th century when he said that we should talk about the original wound. And he says the original wound that we all suffer from is leaving our mother's womb, because things were so content there for 9 months, and then you enter this world with the bright light, neon lights of a hospital, and someone hitting you on the butt, and then all the turmoil and everything of culture and life that we never quite get over that trauma. And he says most of our traumas in life are a reminder of that original wound. And he said the only way you can really get back to that kind of wholeness is either through love or through art, and what he called the unio mystica, the mystical union. And so there is that healing that we look for in our lives, but it's an original. Now, he was Jewish, so again, he didn't have an original sin ideology. But the fact that we do come wounded into a wounded world, I think that's pretty obvious. But the question is, what do we do with it? Do we go to war, as you mentioned earlier, or do we learn to appreciate this marvelous gift of being part of a 13.8 billion year history that we call the universe, and what an amazing thing it is to be here? And are we really messing it up on this unique planet of ours? Well, I think we are. So we've got to do some deep digging and transformation personally,
well,
and community-wise.
Yeah. And that leads to your intimate collaboration really with Meister Eckhart,
yeah.
And why you're inviting him to join us. I love this idea of finding allies in history. You know, for me it was Marsilio Ficino going, oh, an ally. But you formed a partnership really with Meister Eckhart. This is your third book on him, to bring him into now, as an available resource for us to be inspired by. What are the qualities of medicine. I'd open to the practice of solitude, you know, requires discipline. It is just like learning to write. Truly, if a man is to acquire this art, must apply himself, practice hard, however heavy and bitter, and however impossible, kind of study. So what are the qualities of medicine that Meister Eckhart, through your beautiful book, Mystic Warrior for Our Time, you know, wants to proffer to us now? What would Meister Eckhart do with the, I will be bringing in Bob Goff at some point too, but the, you know, the Senate just voted on the XL pipeline, but it's to approve it now, but it's still, we're calling all angels, but it is still, subject to veto. but how do you tease Meister Eckhart into the crises of now and the kind of quality of depth that I think you're encouraging us all to develop?
Well, I put him in the room in one chapter with Thich Nhat Hanh, and I have them interacting on the subject that you just spoke of, solitude and silence, mindfulness, calming the reptilian brain. That's really what meditation does. And how important is that? Well, look around us. You know, we're acting like reptiles by tearing the earth apart and going to war all the time. You know, we have to calm.
I just got to say, reptiles don't do that. It's the existing of reptiles. But anyway, on behalf of reptiles.
Sorry,
I'm going, that's, no.
I don't know.
They're bailing out on out of the metaphor realm.
To be pretty fierce, anyway. But the mammal brain, we have to make room for the mammal brain, which is about kinship and compassion. I mean, the word for compassion, both Hebrew and Arabic, comes with the word for womb. So the mammals, the womb people, they have a sense of kinship and compassion, and we have to develop that much more fully. And, I mean, when I think of reptilian brain, I think of Dick Cheney. And going to war in Iraq after 9/11, which made no sense except in terms of action-reaction, which is our basic the thrust of the reptilian brain. And again, I'm not trying to put down reptiles, I assure you. But so that's one area.
We might call it the Cheney brain.
Okay. We'll agree to that.
And of course, there's
the dimension of the divine feminine. That obviously we live in a time in history when the masculine is first of all badly defined. It's being defined as being number one and winning, but in fact it's overly extended. We have to bring the sense of the divine feminine back, and the feminine is not about weakness, but it's about a different kind of strength, one that's built on interconnectivity and the web of creation, and not on power over, but rather power with. So, and cooperation and community. So that's another thing. So I put him in the room with Adrienne Rich, whose work I love, one of the great poets of the feminist world in my lifetime, and Dorothy Solo, whom you mentioned earlier, and other really important women thinkers in our time. So that's another thing, getting that balance between the sacred masculine and the divine feminine. And I put him in the room with Rabbi Heschel, again, whose whole philosophy is about radical amazement. And our wisdom begins with awe. We have so much education is built not on wisdom, but on knowledge at this time in history. Well, we need wisdom, and wisdom incorporates the heart along with the head, and if you will, our intuitions along with our intellectual and rational side. So that's another balance. So, and Carl Jung says, he discovered the key to the unconscious in Eckhart, and the key is learning to let go, and that Eckhart is very big on learning to let go. So in these ways I try to, and then there's a chapter on shamanism. Eckhart has a lot in common with the shamans. I put him in the room with Black Elk, and it's beautiful to see them speaking about the same realities. And Kumar Swami is a Hindu philosopher, by the way. He was fluent in 36 languages, which kind of blows my mind. And he says reading Eckhart is like reading the Upanishads. Well, you can't get a greater compliment from a Hindu than that. So Eckhart is amazing. Buddhists call him a Buddhist. Sufis call him a Sufi. Hindus call him Hindu. And shamanism, he has a lot in common with that. And yet he was a Westerner who never read Buddhism or Hinduism. He did read Sufism. He knew quite a bit of the mystical tradition of both Judaism and Islam. He was 13 when Rumi died. So, and then he was a contemporary of Hafiz, who came right after Rumi. So he's a marvelous genius who brings together inter-spirituality like no one on the planet. I've never heard of someone who Buddhists call a Buddhist, who in fact was a Christian, and Hindus call her Hindu, and so forth. He's uncanny. Now, he was condemned by the church, which may be quite a feather in his cap, a week after he died. And that's why Christians hardly know him at all. He hasn't entered mainstream.
Well, that's a much better way to do it, though. Yes, I'd rather schedule being condemned by the church after death. Very well done. Very well done, my Mr. Eckhart. Yeah, and the Zen people call it, say crazy Zen. Crazy Zen Eckhart, and I love what you're doing to bring more angelic help in a sense, because everybody's crazy about Rumi. There's Rumi greeting cards, the poor Rumi, and Hafez. We love Hafez, but to bring Eckhart into that company and go, all right, everybody, you love Rumi, you love Hafez, but now Eckhart also belongs in this realm. Which is wonderful, and I do just want to go back to for our feminist fierce dynamic audience here too, that because in your book again, Meister Eckhart, A Mystic Warrior for Our Times, there's some strong talk which is very liberating. It's Sowell again saying, the mystical certainty that nothing can separate us from the love of the divine grows when we ourselves become one with love. But she talks about how mysticism is the antidote to patriarchy.
Yes,
the language of religion, by which I do not mean the stolen language in which a male god ordains and imperial power radiates forth, is the language of mysticism. And she goes on in other fierce ways. In feminist theology, the issue is not about exchanging pronouns, but another way of thinking of transcendence. And it's like, go Sowell, go Sowell, go, go, go Matthew Fox. It's spicy. It's spicy. I mean, this is, again in your book. So is Meister Eckhart spicy as well?
Oh, he's very spicy. For example, he has this one line, I pray God to rid me of God. Well, that's a mouthful. Think about that for 2 years, You want to be rid of the all-patriarchal God or the all-white God or the God of the empire or the God that we stamp on our dollar bills and coins and MX missiles and God we trust? I mean, that's a radical statement. I pray God to rid me of God. And he comes up with one-liners like that all the time. He says, what does God do all day long? God lies on a maternity bed giving birth. So he has, he's very at home with the idea of the motherhood, the divine feminine, the motherhood of God. He says, what good is it to me if Mary gave birth to the Son of God 1400 years ago, he lived in the 14th century, and I don't give birth to the Son of God in my own person, and in my own culture, in my own time. We are all meant to be mothers of God, he says. And we are all other Christs, he says. So he has a profound understanding of the cosmic Christ, or the Buddha nature, and that is that every being is sacred and is an incarnation of the divine, is an image of God, as the Jewish tradition would say. So, he's just full of insights that can rattle one. He says, in breakthrough, I learn that God and I are one. And that oneness for him has to be played out in terms of compassion and justice. He says, the person who understands what I say about justice understands everything I have to say. That's stunning language coming from a profound mystic, because many people think mysticism is about just solitariness and finding peace within. But for him, it's much more than that. It's about applying peacemaking, and that means justice, to our institutions and to the world we live in. So he's hot. I mean, that's why he was condemned. You see, he was supporting the women's movement of his day, which is the Beguines. And the Pope at the time, John 22nd, who condemned him, condemned the Beguines 17 times, which suggests that it wasn't really sticking. And he said that any Dominican, Eckhart was Dominican like I was, he said any Dominican who works with the Beguines will be automatically excommunicated. And yet Eckhart kept working with them. He also worked with the peasants. He was the first theologian to preach in the German dialect, which at that time was a dialect of the peasants. So he preached to them in his language about how all of them were aristocrats and royal people. This did not endear Eckhart to the aristocrats, and they're the ones who first called the trial against him that eventually became the trial that condemned him in Avignon, where the Pope was. So he was an activist, as well as being one of the greatest mystics that the West has ever seen.
Yes, and I love Neil Douglas Klotz, you know, Aramaic scholar, mm-hmm. maybe. But you know, in he says, you know, Jesus never used the word Lord. That's much later, Overlord. but in the Lord's Prayer, what comes, you know, he says the word for the divine is Abuon, which is O Father, Mother, ongoing birthing, and we go, yes, that's much more wonderful.
It is.
So yes, there is, you know, and again, you know, Alan Watts's wonderful quote, to which you are the antidote, you know, Alan Watts in Myth and Ritual and Christianity, in which he said the problem with Western man, and I think he meant man, is it, with Christianity is they suck the finger instead of going where it pointed. We go, Alan. you're guiding us. So this is all so rich and wonderful. Let me announce to our listening audience how they can further participate in this, and also if you're playfully willing, can you hang in as I bring our ally Bob Goff into play, and we can tease mysticism into the climate conference and whatnot. Are you
marvelous.
Available to hang in a little bit?
Sure.
Oh, splendid. All right, we love experimentation. We are in an experimental mode, so I'm about to bring in wonderful Bob Goff, who's waiting here wonderfully with things to tell us, and we can to and fro back and forth. But first, we are in our Festival of Reciprocal Blessing, you know, which we're calling Oh How Wonderful, and many people to thank, yeah, or a few people to thank. Yeah, yay, Lucy Giver Conroy, we love you. We love you. Chiming in, and so you can have as these are gifts, these are thank you gifts, you know, as you know, you can have the incredibly rich companionable book Meister Eckhart, A Mystic Warrior for Our Time, by our wonderful guest Matthew Fox, and that's for a pledge of $80. You can have the fantastically beguiling Draw You In, The Physics of Angels by Matthew Fox and Rupert Sheldrake, Complete Permission to Contact Angels by really smart guys. Okay, for a pledge of $90, you can have a pair of tickets to the Cosmic Mass that will be on February 8th, right after the important climate march on February 7th in Oakland. That's at 6:30 p.m. at the Oakland Scottish Rite Center, and that's for a pledge of $50 for a pair. And that's double generous because it was donated by our listener, Joanne Gaines, who loves everything that Matthew is doing. And then also, just the entheogenic realm, a frequent guest on show, Paul Stamets, is offering his DVD Psilocybin and Amanita Mushrooms, An Innocent Discovers the Infinite by Paul Stamets, for a pledge of $100. So any or all of those things can be yours by calling 800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, 1-800-439-5732. For all of those wonderful things, and we will try not to be too fascinating, because people are mesmerized by you, Matthew Fox, and they appear to not have been pledging yet, but we go, you can listen and pledge simultaneously. Yes, we will be just fascinating enough so that you can still dial 1-800-439-5732 to chime in on this and to support this place of gathering every week, which spirals forth. People connect, people, you know, from all over the place, you know, connect, and then they do things. They go to the Cosmic Mass. They connect with each other. So radio is magic intrinsically. It is a wonderful, invisible place of spirits where we do connect and we feel kinned. So we're pledging to keep our meeting place, our audio meeting place, you know, alive. So there we have it. So Bob Goff, come on in and help us pitch and meet Matthew Fox and bring in Black Elk. And Bob is famous to me and many people. You have been the lawyer for the Lakota Sioux, and you've been instrumental in working also with bringing renewable energy to the reservations. And you've been here in D.C. just now attending the climate conference, yeah.
Work with all of these spirit powers, such as the power of the wind, these things that have no corporal bodies, like radio programs, voices coming into your house, coming into your head, speaking like angels. Matthew, I've enjoyed listening to the conversation here, and wanted to just say that I'm in town here for the National Conference on Global Forming, on a global forum on science, policy, and the environment that was being held this week. And there was an honoring of Stephen Hubble, the great ecologist, for his lifetime activities in science and in the public interest. And he was giving his remarks last night when he received the award, and he spoke of the evil of those who were putting out misinformation with regard to climate change and what we're doing to the planet. And it's rare that you hear a scientist in a room full of other scientists speak of evil. There it was last night writ large, because the events that people are seeing are not just a call for our better angels to appear and to help us, but also calling out those that are doing evil, if you will. And that was realized this afternoon in the Senate as 62 people voted for the Keystone Pipeline override of not of the president's veto, but of the president's authority and power to go by the process and the law. So I've been just sort of musing on the discussion here, and I'm hoping that the current Pope might consider, I don't know what was done with Galileo, sort of forgiving him for recognizing the Earth moves, it's alive, and bringing the Church into the 21st century.
So what are your thoughts on the Pope, Matthew Fox?
Well, he's coming out with an encyclical on ecology, and I was with Leonardo Boff, the Brazilian liberation theologian, a couple months ago in Mexico, and he's actually consulting with the Pope about it. So it's going to be a very strong and powerful encyclical, and I think it'll put a lot of wind in the sails of good people like yourself, Bob, and others who are working at the grassroots to wake people up and to get over this denial that that the politicians are in, because of course, they're being funded by those who are doing very well under the current circumstances of that we live in.
I have a perfect 9-second clip. It's a secret recording of the Koch brothers, what we're up against. Do we have that? Oh, great. Here we go.
I want money and power and money and power and money.
Yes, that was the Koch brothers, secretly recorded by our team of coyotes and animals. But isn't it charming? It's very adorable. Because we don't want money and power. We want community and blessing and angels, and let me be responsible here to the beautiful team of KPFA, and the long history of the Visionary Activist Show. Goodness, time flies when you're having fun. 18 years, going on 18 years. But again, you can have this wonderful book, Meister Eckhart. It will keep you companionably happy, for a long time. It is really rich. I was reading it straight through, and then I began to just dance around and open it in a kind of divinatory manner, and it's like, oh, yes. And that's for a pledge of $80. You can have The Physics of Angels by Matthew Fox and Rupert Sheldrake. Yes, heretics. These are two proud heretics, freely chosen, because we know that any spiritual teaching, is only valid, especially now, to the degree that it guides everyone to their own autonomy and their own gift. And that's for a pledge of $90. You can go to the Cosmic Mass with other listeners to this show. That is, we have 15 available pairs of tickets for a pledge of $50. And you can trip out with Paul Stamets on psilocybin and Amanita in a virtual DVD kind of way. Innocent discovers the infinite for a pledge of $100. Any or all of those things, 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. And we go, yes, come on, team, that would be really great. So Hildegard, Matthew, you say, is saying that the via positiva, which is praise, is half of our task, and we share that with the angels. And just to bring into our cahoot here, how important that is, for dedicated activists to not suffer from beauty deficiency, and to be able to critique and then praise, right? I mean, do you want to chime in on that, Bob, about, or Matthew? Yes, go wherever you want.
Or people can burn out,
Matthew.
if they're not, people can burn out if they're not in love. And it's the love that drives us to stand up and take a stand and to oppose. And I really love what you just said, Bob, about this word evil coming back. They say the opposite of evil, you know, is not good. The opposite of evil is the sacred. And as you said, it's unusual to hear scientists talk about evil, but it's also unusual to talk about the sacred. So I think the return of the sacred is at the heart of our acknowledging the beauty and the responsibility we have to sustain the beauty of our special planet here. And so I really appreciate that you brought that subject up. There's a big difference between evil and just say like sin or something. Evil is something much bigger, and we are up against these forces, and we have to acknowledge that we have to develop a deeper and deeper sense of the sacred if we're going to take on the powers that are opposing the very survival of our nest here that we call Earth with all the other beautiful creatures.
However, I also love that in Aramaic, apparently, the word that is translated to us as evil means in Aramaic, unripe. And that gives us something to do, because what do you do with an unripe banana? You put it in a brown paper bag. So I like imagining a giant brown paper bag descending over Congress going, you guys ripen up, you know, and rekin your hearts.
It's important to remember that the reverse of evil is to live. And that is where live is what the planet is. Live is what the future has been all about. And a lot of scientists, there was an article in Truth out by Dare Jamal talking about the grieving for the planet and how climate scientists suffer what I've come to call PTSD, pre-traumatic stress syndrome. it's the idea that we see what's loaded in the pipeline and heading our way, and we're looking at having our fingerprint on the sixth great extinction on the planet. And we need to certainly do all we can, all hands on deck, to change that. But it's coming out of the denial that we're responsible. And it is, for the first time, becoming a very sobering fact that the future is the fact of the future may be uncertain. We may not have a future. We've always assumed there would be until, you know, someday far in the future. But we seem to be coming up against that by our own hand. And go ahead.
Yeah. No. And let's, you know, everybody, Matthew, certainly, because what is being outgassed now is many people say, you know, what's the point? It's too late. Very good. Yeah. And that's, I think, where the work of all of us, and especially you, Matthew Fox, and the physics of angels, going, all that we see is not all there is. You know, and if we thought that all that we saw and perceived and studied, you know, was all there was, we would have every right to be depressed. And that's actually the tarot card definition of the devil, which is not a supernatural being, but he makes a hand gesture that says, all that you see is all there is, and if I can snooker you into that, then that's what the devil is. So the antidote is, you know, again, this feeling of perception. I mean, so Meister Eckhart and angels coming in. I mean, do you view them as collaborative allies now for us to be invited into play?
Absolutely. There's a woman named Lorna Byrne, a peasant woman from Ireland, who, since she's been 2 years old, has been experiencing angels. And they told her not to tell anyone until, a few years ago after her husband died. And she says that that we're in so much trouble as a species today that God is pouring angels on the earth to help us. But there are a lot of unemployed angels because no one's asking them for help. And Rupert Sheldrake tells a story that I'd not heard before, that Darwin's idea of evolution, he actually created with a second scientist named Wallace. And together they produced the theory of evolution and did papers on it to launch the idea. But they split over the subject of angels. That Darwin said all this evolution happened by chance and so forth, and it was all survival of the fittest. And Wallace said, no, there's been far too much accomplished in too short a time, such as the invention of the eye or the invention of the brain. Therefore, there must have been intelligent agents that assisted this, and of course the traditional word for that is angels. So at the very beginning of the launching of evolution, we had this split in science over angels assisting us or not versus chance and fate and survival of the fittest. So I think that's a very interesting story that Rupert brought up. I'd never heard that before.
No, that's great. And that brings us to help. We need help. In the astro mythology, it says, you know, the transits or the dance with, you know, powerful forces are in order to bring us to our knees, in which we go, help, we could really use help. And we say the backstage team says, you know, we'd like to help, but spiritual etiquette requires that humans ask, you know, and we're asking and again that idea of breakdown and carrying the load until one goes help, that to acknowledge that we humans cannot possibly resolve these innumerable rudenesses we've inflicted on the planet by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. And without trying to be too cheesy, I'm going to segue into help, send money to KPFA. That's right. We know it's a little bit cheesy, but it's also completely for real. I want to thank Susan Meyer in Berkeley for her pledge, and you will be seeing her at the Cosmic Mass. So come on, team. Apparently, we've been being too fascinating. So we go, we're fascinating, and you want to pledge to this show so we can have Matthew back and Bob Goff back and continue this conversation in which we're just dipping our little toe in the vast ocean of available resources to all of us. You know, so again, remember, as thank you gifts, you can have Meister Eckhart, A Mystic Warrior for Our Time by Matthew Fox for a pledge of $80. You can have The Physics of Angels. Yes, you need no longer be ashamed of your angel. Bring it out. It has got a long and worthy heritage, and we need this, by Matthew Fox and Rupert Sheldrake for a pledge of $90. There are still 14 pairs of tickets available to the Cosmic Mass with Matthew Fox and David Corton, to Champions for Economic Justice. That is on February 8th. It's a day after the profound climate march in Oakland, February 7th, really important. So come gather woof and metabolize the power of the February 7th march on February 8th at 6:30 p.m. with many, many teammates. You know, it's like everybody, ollie income free, you know, come out of hiding, you know, come out and meet your kin. Come out and gather in such a wonderfully rich way that to which Matthew Fox has been dedicated. And there'll be dancing and grieving and laughing and dedication to an economy and inviting in of angels and whatever else. And yourselves, again, there are pairs of tickets available for $50 pledge. And, you know, you can go anyway. But this way you get a twofer, of course. You get to pledge to the Visionary Activist Show and to KPFA, the mothership of Pacifica, the goddess of peace. Think of it that way. You are pledging to the goddess of peace at this powerful time by calling 1-800-439-5732. And feel free, Matthew, if I can just tease you into pitching. Do you ever listen to KPFA?
Oh, of course I do. Of course. It's so important.
Thank you.
It's so important to have independent media, you know, who are not beholden to the powers of Wall Street. They get us
the
into truth. The overlords, yes. And I love that you talked, Bob, about denial. You know, there's so much denial about climate change. The governor of California says, what, me worry, climate change? But I have friends in Miami who tell me that there's 6 inches of water on streets in Miami because, well, Miami is sinking. So, you know, Meister Eckhart says God is the denial of denial. And I really like that. As long as we're in denial, the truth cannot flow and love cannot flow. So we've got to work our way out of denial. So I'm real glad that you named that issue, too, that we got to move beyond denial.
We had 62 senators vote in the misinformation of jobs coming from Keystone. I'd like to see 63 listeners call in and pledge. Let's beat the Senate at their own game.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Good idea.
Wonderful.
It's a challenge. That's right. I want to thank beautiful Ziva Longley again. You know, you will be seeing each other at the Cosmic Mass. So it's a great place to, we meet here on the air, and then you get to meet in embodied form with Matthew and David Corton and other really dedicated beings that are are your kin. The time is so powerful now to gather, and we have 13, only 13 pairs of tickets left to the Cosmic Mass for a pledge of $50. You can afford that. Yes, you can. And also, we welcome anything. Surprise us. You know, $63 million, that would be a surprise. A charm for attracting wild money. We will rub our hands with honey and wander through the vaults of banks going, come, honey, we will not lock you in trust funds and dark, you know, in dark whatever it is, savings accounts. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind. This is Marge Piercy's blessing. You know, come, honey, and build a murmuring swarm in KPFA's purse. You know, apologies, Marge Piercy. We give you thank you gifts, but really, you know, it is the dedication of all the listeners here. So many wonderful people who write in, you know, every week going, oh, you saved me. Oh, I was alone on a, you know, Air Force base, but I feel kinned. You know, again, this sense of kinship, especially right now, you know, we want the mothership to bloom and blossom. We want, you know, again, abundance, a windfall of wherewithal to everyone. And just the power, you know, everything that is dedicated can be a ritual. You know, by the picking up of the phone with dedication, you know, may this be for all the wolves and coyotes. May this be for the human heart to open. May this be that we no longer outsource power to sociopaths. May it be for whatever it is. You can tell that to the possibly bewildered operators, you know, answering your call, but it'll only do them good, too, by calling 800-1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. The physics of angels is not listed there, but everything else is. And again, come on, team. Yes. All right. Any other exhortations here? It's slow. It's slow, team. We know we're being possibly too fascinating, but we will resume being fascinating. Let's bring Black Elk into play, since that is a part of Matthew Fox introducing Meister Eckhart to Black Elk, and that is something, a being with whom you are kinned as well, Bogoff, yeah?
Well, Black Elk spoke so eloquently from the hoop and in the Black Hills and in that sacred area. We had Chief Orville Looking Horse yesterday leading a prayer service at noon in front of the White House.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was supported there in support of a decision against the Keystone Pipeline. That plan for that pipeline runs about 40 miles from where my house mm-hmm. was in Rosebud. Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't want it there. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure all the listeners know that the Senate isn't the last word, and the President may not even be the last word, because there's still the company failed to do any work in the last 4 years on a permit they had, and the permit is basically expired. They've got to recertify it, and we're going through a whole process again now in South Dakota. And the tribes have really engaged in this. There's about 40 of us that have come in as partners, or not partners, but as parties into this action against the PUC. So there's great optimism, great hope, and it's gotten very little attention in the news. But if that section of the pipeline doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Mm. All right, team, we have about 1 minute left to this show. We need 63 callers. Co-operators are standing by in the form of angels and actual operators by calling 1-800-439-5732. Let's do a miracle so the grown-ups at KPFA are like, wow, that was amazing. You know, that'll be really great. And Matthew, I do hope that, you know, so at some point when we're not in Fund Drive, when we can unfurl even further, I hope that you would return for our cavorting for greater good. Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah. I would enjoy it very much. This has been very
excellent.
Exciting.
That's wonderful.
You're always in Fund Drive.
We're always in Fund Drive. That's right. Okay. Come on, team. You've got 1 minute. I can see you. I can see you online. We're thanking
cast your votes now. Let's get those votes in.
But I do want to say, and 1 in 8 is actually a huge number. I'd like that to be true. 1 in 8, just, you know, if you're in a room with people, just go 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm 8. Okay, I'll call. So 1-800-439-5732 would be adorable, and you can pledge online after we're done as well. We are deconvening for the moment, but in perpetual cahoots. Thank you so much, Matthew Fox, for your prodigious, prolific, fantastic dedication in so many realms. And I hope you will join Matthew Fox at the Cosmic Mass on February 8th. There's still 12 pairs of tickets left for that, for a pledge of $50 only. The Physics of Angels is a fantastic book. Again, really heartening. Buy one for, or pledge for one for libraries and all of that, as is Meister Eckhart. We want to bring all of our kin into play, all who have things to proffer, all that is spoken to the best in the human heart. We need it now. Thank you, Matthew Fox. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you, Bob, for the work you're doing. Wonderful work.
Excellent.
Thank you, Matthew.
And thank you, Alex Brewinskis in Washington, D.C., and Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, and Caroline Casey. And you can still pledge. Come on, team. Yes, you can. 1-800-439-5732. And we will reconvene next week. Thanks again so much, Matthew Fox and Bob Goff and the whole team. And Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And we will cahoot further. Woof.
This is Brian Edwards-Tiekert inviting you to join me for a conversation about the future.